Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster. In Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where'd my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bait that scare ya, Machado or Bono or no.
Brad Miller homered again. Is he really going to lose his job as the starting shortstop? Does that matter? Jay Happ is a top 10 starting pitcher in fantasy. Is Drew Smyly back? And an interesting Max Kepler stat for you. What's up, everybody? It is Friday, August 5th. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. Adam Azer, Scott White, Al Melchior. Happy Friday, fellas.
Happy Friday. You're bringing Smyly back.
Yeah, I'm Smyly today.
Yeah.
All right.
Smyly Adam.
Well, who's Smyly about Smyly right now?
Smyly about.
I am, even though I don't own him in any leagues. I would be really Smyly if I did, but I do think he's back.
I don't even know what back means. I don't know. I mean, it was a good start. That can't be denied, but it's not like we haven't seen from him sporadically this year.
Well, I'm not sure how many good back-to-back ones we've seen, and I'm usually not convinced by back-to-back, but I just think that Drew Smyly, if he's not giving up home runs, he's a really, really good fantasy pitcher.
What if he gives up home run, which he did yesterday?
Home run is okay. it's when he's getting into the multiple homers that it's a problem.
Okay. Well, look, today is Friday, and we'll talk to you about week 19 help, two start pitchers, matchups, like Mike Fiers. Mike Fiers pitching well right now, but he only pitches well at home. I think he's got two road starts next week, so what do you do with Mike Fiers?
We're really going to have Mike Fiers talk.
Was it Kevin Gausman who said he's very comfortable at home?
Yeah, somebody, that's what Gausman said.
It's a Gausman syndrome.
I am going to throw out a baseless accusation that should be dismissed as a total joke.
Okay.
I think the Astros cheat because I feel like all their pitchers do better at home. Going back to last year, too, I feel like McHugh, Keuchel, much better at home.
So the guy in the white shirt has moved to Houston.
Yes, he has moved to Houston.
If it's a joke, Adam, nobody's laughing.
Well, now I'm laughing, so thank you for that. Al wrote an interesting column about Andrew McCutchen. Oh, also, Andrew Miller is a guy we need to talk about. He pitched in the sixth inning yesterday, so we'll look at that. But Andrew McCutchen, a McCutchen discussion. Now, we have said that on the podcast before. Al, I think you kind of butchered it. You said a McCutchen discussion. Why couldn't you have the guts to call it a McCutchen discussion when you wrote it on the website?
You know why? Because that's yours, Adam.
Okay.
I wanted to give it my own special and slightly more boring spin.
Okay. Well, you called it a McCutchen discussion, but I'm putting a Dozier of reality in there because you comped him. You compared him to Brian Dozier. Anyway, what did you find about Andrew McCutchen in the latest story that you can read right now on CBSSports.com/fantasy?
Well, in a way, I think I actually maybe learn more about Brian Dozier and writing about Andrew McCutchen. I'll get to that in a minute. But, his plate discipline has been abysmal this year. So the walk rate is way down and the strikeout rate is way up. So that's really killed his on base percentage and, of course, the batting average. But I was actually surprised that his home run pace is pretty much the same as it's been the last two seasons. So even though he's swinging at a lot more pitches than he ever has in his career, and his whiff rate, which has been on the rise for a couple years, continues to go up this year, that he's maintained the home run pace. So if you're looking for some sign of encouragement, there's one. But really, it's just more of a mystery and enigma to me, because the Pirates trainer says that the thumb is no longer enough of an issue that it should be affecting McCutchen. There's not, other than the home runs, there's not any particular, sign of an upward trend there. So it's, you know, and he seems way too young just to be having age-related decline. So, I know I mentioned on the podcast yesterday, it sort of reminds me of Mike Lowell's age 31 season, which was horrible for no particular reason and a complete aberration. But yeah, I discovered the similarity with Brian Dozier, and the big difference there is that Dozier had a 4-month slump that was broken in half by the offseason.
Right.
But at first it seemed to be injury related. I'm sure it was because he had a torn hip labrum, but he came back reportedly healthy and was no better than when he was hurt.
And you're talking about last year and this year for Dozier.
Last
right?
year and this year with Dozier.
Right.
So a little less than 2 months last year, really awful, but again, playing through a hip issue, off season to heal, comes back, proclaims himself 110% healthy in spring training. And then for the first 2 months is just as bad as he was the last 2 months of last year, Dozier. Right. And then was right. actually better than himself.
Top five hitter since. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been great.
But again, that's really front loaded within the last 2 months because in the month of July, Dozier was Dozier.
Yeah.
Okay. He found his mean level. So the point in making the comparison is that in terms of age, relevance at their respective positions, and the duration of the slump, they're very similar. So if Dozier can just kind of snap out of it, McCutchen can, no mm-hmm. saying he will, but given that we can't find a clear explanation for why this has gone into 4 months for McCutchen, I think you have to take the optimistic view with him. And that may mean you sit him because as I mentioned in the column, there's really not that much to be lost by sitting McCutchen, you know, for a week. And if he turns it around that week, then you get him active. But,
yeah, or 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, week by week, you take a week by week.
Yeah.
But you know, I did a poll and, I think about a little more than a third of the owners said they either want to trade or drop him. And yeah. So, you know, I think at least for people who are in that camp, those are relevant comparisons.
So does it bother you when you look at McCutchen? You mentioned he's on the same home run pace. He's got 15 home runs this year, and 3 of them came in 1 game at Coors Field. Does that change anything
nah.
for you?
Because he's still, you wipe those out or give him maybe 1 of those home runs. You know, it doesn't put him far off the pace. And look, he's got bigger problems. The yeah. fact that he's not making contact, that he's overly aggressive. I mean, those are problems enough.
And you mentioned the thumb. There's no upward trend since he was supposedly cleared from the thumb. There has been a downward trend, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, yeah. And I'm going off somebody else's information because honestly, I don't know where to find the information myself, but consistently the exit velocity has fallen month by month to the point that it's like at an embarrassing level now. So, yeah, I think it's to the point where you pretty much have to sit him, but I'm not ruling out him just turning it around on a dime like Dozier did.
Yeah. And I think again, probably the most optimistic you can realistically be about, McCutchen is from here on out that he is Stephen Piscotty, who is on a similar home run pace to McCutchen, is hitting, I think around 280. You know, pretty similar run scored pace and more RBI. But I think that McCutchen can get up to that level and he's not going to produce steals. So he's not going to necessarily be better than that. But, you know, that's going to make him roughly a top 30 outfielder that you need to start in any format.
Okay. So you're the Andrew McCutchen owner and you get an email trade offer from awesome fantasy friend. And it says Max Kepler. For your Andrew McCutchen, you get Max Kepler, you give Andrew McCutchen, accept or reject?
I'm rejecting it.
You'd rather have Kutch.
To me, it would depend on, is the guy I'm benching McCutchen for somebody who really deserves to start? If the answer is no, then I might accept it. I mean, we're getting to the point where you need production now. I think
Scott,
I might do it.
Do you have, by any chance, next week's matchups with you?
The hitter matchups?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I can pull them up pretty quickly, though.
Yeah, you know, I was looking into Kepler, and I didn't realize how much of a platoon split he has. He's really bad against left-handed pitchers. And If he's got like three or four lefties on the schedule, I don't know. Is Kepler even a must start? I want to get the exact numbers here. Max Kepler, where are you, Max Kepler? You have a 219 batting average with a 287 on base, 370 slugging percentage with two home runs in 73 at bats, six walks, 22 strikeouts. So 219, 287, 370 against lefties compared to, gosh, OPS over 1,000 against righties. 286, 374, 650 with a much better walk-to-strikeout ratio against righties.
Yeah, I was actually imagining worse when you first brought it up. I was imagining like Josh Reddick-type splits.
Oh, those are pretty bad, though.
It could be worse.
219, 287, 370?
To answer your specific question, if he's playing, if he's facing more than half righties, I'm going to start him.
Okay.
And that's the case this week. Five of the seven pitchers he's scheduled to face are righties.
All right, guys. Let's get into the show. Let's get into Thursday's action. Brad Miller. Is he going to be their first baseman? He has homered four times in his last six games. Miller is 41% owned and just having a really good year.
Shortstop on pace for 30 home runs. He's 41% out.
Crazy.
Welcome to 2016.
So what's the deal? Brad Miller is going to come back and play short. Matt Duffy's going to come back and play short. Is Brad Miller going to be the Tampa Bay Rays first baseman?
I think so. I would think first or left field. Probably.
They're saying first.
Then
sounds like it
makes the most sense, too.
Yeah.
Is he going to sit against lefties? I mean, can't do that for Lomo. You know, is he going to be an everyday player? For example, yesterday before
he hasn't been an everyday player at shortstop.
He has faced the last two lefties though, so maybe they're riding the hot hand.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, okay. Let me frame it like this. Yesterday with Al on the show, I said I needed to pick up a shortstop because I lost Story and Diaz, and I was looking at Brad Miller and I was looking at Jed Jerko, and I saw the report that Duffy was going to replace Miller, and I went with Jed Jerko. Now I see this new report that Miller is going to replace, going to play some first base. Should I now drop Jerko and pick up Miller?
Yeah, you should. Because I think Miller's playing time, it might be a little more sporadic, but it's going to be longer term. I mean, Carpenter's coming back Friday, so who knows how long Jerko is going to play.
Sure.
Because of that. I think Miller's the better option.
All right. In a broader sense here, Miller at 41% owned. Is Brad Miller extremely under-owned?
I think so.
You know what's interesting? I actually wrote about him. I wrote about Miller yesterday while I was writing about McCutchen. And prior to yesterday's game when he homered again, he was the 20th ranked shortstop. So, okay. 12-team league, every team starts one shortstop. Maybe you don't pick him up. But he was the 45th ranked outfielder. So that makes him potentially even more valuable at that position. Now, it's possible with the injuries that have struck at shortstop lately, he might be the best on waivers, even though he's 20th ranked at that position. And that's fine. Obviously, he's the guy to pick up. I would say, among shortstops owned in 60% of leagues or less, he is far and away the best.
Drew Smyly, Brad Miller, they're both out there. Let's say you're just trying to stash someone for a big finish here. Who's more exciting to you, Miller or Smyly?
I'm going to just take the weasel route here and say, really, you know, if I'm looking at my roster and have room for one, it's where I have the greatest need because it feels equal.
If I don't need a shortstop or an outfielder, I guess, then probably Smyly. Okay. Even though, I'm not nearly as back on board as it sounds like Al is, because I don't feel like his last start was that great. Six strikeouts in six innings. That's not my idea of good Smyly. He only had seven swinging strikes in that game. This latest one was better.
I feel like that is so harsh. Six strikeouts in six innings, and it was against the Yankees who don't strike out that much. I mean, if he weren't having such a bad season before that, we would have been totally fine with that. Not to mention the start before that, he only had one strikeout, but I think it was six innings, one run. So it's three good starts in terms of runs and innings, two good starts in terms of strikeouts. What's wrong with six innings, six strikeouts?
You just said it. If he wasn't having such a bad season, we wouldn't be nearly as harsh about it. I think you can accidentally have a six strikeout in six inning game.
I mean, but three games in a row with quality starts, not a lot of runs, and
one of them was one strikeout.
All right, and I can understand not getting that excited about that, but that was against Oakland, and they don't strike out a lot, right?
Okay.
He has faced Oakland, the Yankees, and Kansas City, and I don't know, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I feel like these are three teams toward the bottom in strikeouts.
Oakland and New York for sure. The Royals, you know, perennially have been there. Last I checked, they were not doing so great in that area this year.
He had a four start stretch in April when he struck out 36 batters, which is 9 per, and then he went terrible. So
I know.
Yeah. I feel like I want to see at least that before I start getting excited about him again.
Well, you've gotten it in the last two starts. So that's...
No. Well, you haven't gotten 36 strikeouts over a 4-start stretch.
No. No, you haven't. But, okay. So James Paxton, Drew Smyly. Who would you rather have?
Paxton. Easily.
I'm maybe over-enthused about Smyly, but I'm going to go Smyly because it's just, I'm hopeful that from here forward, he's going to be more like he was last couple of seasons.
You know,
the injuries.
I was about to drop him for Colin McHugh, and then he had the start yesterday. I can't drop him right now. Oh, maybe I should drop him for Colin McHugh.
That's Colin McHugh's a wacky case himself.
Yeah.
Of these three that you just named, Paxton is far and away the one I understand the most. So that gives me a little more confidence too.
Do you understand Jay Happ, guys? Are you buying him at this point? Is a must start?
Yes.
I don't have to understand him to buy him.
No, I feel like I do understand Happ.
Okay.
I feel like
why the resurgence?
Exactly what I was complaining about at the start of the season when, yeah, he was winning games and keeping the ERA low, but what caused him to turn his career around in Pittsburgh, he suddenly abandoned that, and that was throwing his four-seam fastball, good majority of the time. And suddenly, over this last 6-start stretch where he's averaged 11-point-something strikeouts per nine, and 11.6 strikeout per nine innings, J.A. Happ has averaged over his last 6 starts.
Oh, Scott, you know it's Jay Happ. You know it's Jay.
I said Jay Happ.
I thought I heard a J.A. in there.
Yeah, my voice kind of cracked in the middle of it. See, it's one of those names where if you say it wrong, like, it's easy to cover your tracks because it's just kind of, yeah. Anyway, last 6, 11.4. 1.45 ERA, 11.6 strikeouts per nine innings. So, started throwing his fastball about 2/3 of the time again, and suddenly, he's back to striking out more than a batter per inning, just like in Pittsburgh. So he is back, and if he keeps this up, he might make a case for the Cy Young Award himself.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, let me just, I am excited too about J Happ. I just saw this, because I also looked at those last 6 starts where, yeah, he's been striking out everybody, and only giving up 2 home runs. But 0.65 ground ball to fly ball ratio and a 31% line drive rate in these 6 starts. How does he have a 1.45 ERA with 4 of the starts at home, and against good opponents too? I just, 31% line drive rate really stood out to me, with a 1.45 ERA and all those strikeouts.
Well, to me, that's a great sign that he's succeeding in spite of that. And that's not something of all the stats that I could look at. And a player's batted ball profile, that's the one I pay the least attention to because it's pretty random.
Okay. Good. Good to know.
Yeah. But, so Scott's, making the potential case for Happ as Cy Young. Imagine going in the time machine, go back 3 years, and somebody tells you Dallas Keuchel and Jay Happ are going to win back-to-back AL Cy Youngs. Imagine how floored you would be.
Oh, I mean, if you're going back that far... Corey Kluber won the year before.
Yeah.
I think you have to go back a fourth year then to be amazed by that. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Smyly standards. It has to be four starts before we even care. Andrew Miller, guys, he got an out in the 6th and then he came in the 7th. Got Buxton out in the 6th and then he faced the top of the order in the 7th. Did that tell you anything?
Oh, this is not good. And I mean, Terry Francona said he doesn't plan on doing this that often. But anything short of Terry Francona coming out and saying, I completely lost my mind. Andrew Miller is our closer. I will only use him in the 9th inning. Anything short of that worries me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. don't drop Cody Allen yet?
No.
But definitely don't drop Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, the next time Allen blows a save may be the last time we see Allen in the ninth inning. And I think it's also worth noting we haven't seen Allen get a save since the Indians acquired Miller. So we still don't really know anything.
Yeah. And to be fair, I mean, getting Buxton out is one thing, but the way Dozier, Maurer, and Kepler have been hitting, using him in the seventh against those guys, and they needed a win. I mean, they lost three in a row to the Indians. Scott Schebler is 5% owned. Is just taking a shot here. He's also a little banged up. He got hurt yesterday, so you got to check on that. But is Scott Schebler a guy that fantasy owners need to know about? Reds outfielder.
Sure, because he's currently 5% owned, and I think he's probably worth being somebody who's maybe 30% owned. So no, not run out and pick him up instead of say Luis Severino or Joe Musgrove, but deep leaguers, yeah, need to own him. He's probably going to be a pretty good power source.
Okay. So you mentioned Severino. He's in the Yankees rotation. I'll tell you the news in a second, but I want to tell you guys what I did last weekend. And yeah, I didn't go to the movies, didn't do anything super crazy fun like that, but I did go into New York City.
That's super crazy fun.
Huh? Oh yeah. For me, going to the movies right now is super crazy fun for me.
Me too.
Yeah.
But,
the dog days.
It did sound funny.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, okay.
But I did go to the Indochino showroom, and I got fitted for a made-to-measure, amazing suit that I am so excited about because I heard about the offer on this podcast. $399 for any premium made-to-measure suit at Indochino.com. And I know I need a suit. I got some big events coming up. I need a real suit. I need the best suit I've ever bought for only $399. I took advantage of that offer. Everyone, do the same. Indochino.com, enter FBT, as in Fantasy Baseball Today, at checkout. You don't need to go into a showroom like I did. You can do it from home, Indochino.com. Now, Indochino is making made-to-measure suits affordable and available to the masses. It'll fit you perfectly, make you feel confident, make you look good. Our listeners get any premium suit for just $399. That is up to 50% off at Indochino.com when entering FBT. As in Fantasy Baseball Today, FBT, at checkout. Plus, shipping is free, so there's no reason not to try your first custom-made suit with a deal this good. And a suit classic from their premium collection will look good, feel good, and last. That's Indochino.com. Promo code FBT for any premium suit for just $3.99 and free shipping. Indochino, your look, your way. All right, Toronto's going six man. For the time being, Aaron Sanchez stays in the rotation. Your reaction, guys?
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. This is something we've been talking about all week, how he had one start left, and I don't know what people did in response to that. Maybe they traded him. Maybe they even dropped him if the lineups had already locked. I mean, that sucks.
96.
I hope you didn't.
Jay Happ is going to get fewer starts, too, as a result.
No, there's that. That hurts the Cy Young chances.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that this is going to last all year, but for now, Aaron Sanchez stays in the rotation. Six man. for
Gotta move him back up at least a little in my rankings.
Yeah. I moved him beyond the top 60.
I did too.
One start left.
Fool you.
Yeah. Big time.
All right. Jordan Zimmerman's going to have an MRI on his lat. He just came off the DL after suffering a neck injury. So another injury for Zimmerman, who had a terrible start yesterday. Luis Severino joining the Yankees rotation. Smiley or Severino?
Severino.
I'll go Severino.
Did you happen to catch the change Severino made? He said he was doing something on his delivery that was basically tipping off his fastball. He was like rocking back more and like really exaggerated windup.
Ken Davidoff mentioned that in the post. Yeah. And he said, Girardi said, I guess that's been an ongoing problem for Severino, tilting his head and giving away his fastball. And Girardi said Severino did the best job managing that mechanically that he had done all season.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
Stuff's great. And strikeout to walk ratio is great. Majors, well, I mean, over his minor league career, certainly.
Oh, so, tough two-star week, though, for him. What do we got? Boston, I think.
I think Boston and Tampa Bay. I'll look that up.
Yeah, at Boston and home against Tampa Bay. So one very
I'll
tough
roll the start. Dice. I'll roll it. Okay. Sure.
Cool. 35%
Tampa
owned.
Bay.
I'll roll this.
Mark Trumbo homered. Reverse jinx for you there. Philadelphia is going to call up Jake Thompson to pitch tomorrow against San Diego. Al wasn't too excited about it.
Oh, sounds like Scott's not either.
I don't know why he's a top prospect. It's like Chin Ming Wong level strikeout rate in the minors.
Without the ground balls.
Yeah. I don't know. There may be something there that I'm overlooking, but numbers look pretty yucky on their face.
Vince Velasquez left with a blister in the fifth inning to prevent the blister from getting worse. They took him out. They don't want Velasquez to have to miss a start going forward, so they removed him in the fifth inning. Let's be honest. He was only going to pitch six anyway. Jay Bruce's last six hits have all been home runs, guys. Can you believe that?
Must be pretty spread out.
Not as bad as you might think. Well, kind of recently. He got pretty cold, but he had a stretch where he homered, I don't know, like three times in two games and three straight up, whatever it was.
He was a red then.
He was a red.
Yeah.
Francisco Cervelli pinch hit. He's been dealing with a concussion symptom, so that was good to see. Tulo returned to the lineup, and Rich Hill. This is it, guys. Rich Hill starting Sunday. So
is
they
it definite?
Say. No, definitely not.
It's not definite until he throws his fifth pitch, right?
I guess so. Yeah, who's the long man that day?
Arias.
Oh, yeah.
Or did he get sent back down? He pitched in relief day before yesterday.
Yeah, so good stuff. Looney Platoons. Let's go to the platoons here. Let's go to some splits. Oh, you like that, Al? The Looney Platoons.
I do, yeah. It's excellent.
Odubel Herrera has sat the last two games against lefties. And, yeah, he's got a 599 OPS against lefties and 847 against righties.
Told you it could get worse.
What?
Kepler.
It's embarrassing to lose your job against lefties to a guy who's 4-for-29 against lefties, Jimmy Paredes.
Yes, it is.
Doesn't Jimmy Paredes bat left-handed himself?
He's a switch hitter, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I think Odubel Herrera is kind of smoke and mirrors at this point anyway, because so much of his value is built on his inexplicably high walk rate earlier in the season, and that is just completely tanked over the last couple months here. I mean, he's not useless. There's some power. There's some speed there, but he's kind of like a richer man's Eddie Rosario.
Oh.
Wow. That's pretty yucky.
Well, depends how rich of a man you are.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he's Herrera's now a five outfielder option for me. I'm pretty much done with him in the three outfielder leagues.
Two yuckies in the last like 2 minutes, guys.
Gross.
Scott, is that a word you use with the kid a lot?
Yucky?
Yeah.
No, I use it more on my job, actually.
You just straight up curse. Use the F word with Everett. Baby,
no.
What are you going to do? Because you don't curse, really. What are you going to do?
No.
He's 5 years old or 6 years old. He comes home from school and he just like drops an F-bomb.
I don't know what kind of kids you were hanging out with at school. I feel like I was a good bit older than that before that started happening.
When I was 4, I wrote the S word on a piece of paper and taped it to the front door because I thought that would be hysterical. And I get in trouble.
Well, my first experience was as a 4-year-old with the S word as well, but I overheard my dad watching a movie.
Well, that might be it then.
And he was laughing hysterically at this place where the guy was saying this word. So I thought I'd try it out and see if it would get the same reaction. It did not.
Was it the movie Stripes by any chance? Because my dad laughs hysterically at that scene too. With they're trying to learn English.
I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great scene in Stripes. I remember my dad laughing at that one when I was a kid. And if you know, your son, Scott, is an only child right now, but for me, I had two older siblings, so I was probably cursing. In fact, I was cursing quite a bit at like age 4 and 5, and my mom would be like, "Don't laugh! He's just doing it for attention." So, that's something to keep in mind.
Do you just do it for attention now, Adam?
No, I don't think so. It's just very natural to me now. I got started at an early age. What can I tell you now?
Okay.
Here are some players who have made fantasy owners yell profanities. Are they worth stashing still, or are you ready to drop? Look, there's 8 weeks left. You got to make tough decisions. You got to win right now. So what do you think? Corey Dickerson, you ready to drop, or is he still worth stashing?
He's droppable. he's, you know, I'm not going out of my way to drop him, but he's definitely a candidate. If, I'm trying to think who would be out there. I mean, if Kepler were out there, certainly I would do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What if you're just streaming a two-star pitcher?
Well, I'm sorry. What's that?
You're just streaming a two-star pitcher.
Yeah, I would consider that.
Okay. Maybe that's the way to phrase it. You want to pick up a two-star guy for next week and these hitters are on your bench right now. Corey Dickerson. Okay. You could do it. Alex Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How about Jung Ho Kang, 64% own?
I think so. I mean, if you're not counting on him at shortstop and with all the options out there, seems surprising you would. He's just not playing enough, and there's no signs of that ending.
Well, he has started 7 of the last 8 games, but he has not done anything in those 8 games.
Yeah. No, I've considered him in the past week as a guy to drop and didn't. So, you know, he might be the you know, at the bottom rung now in the leagues where I own him. So I could see dropping Gong.
Okay. Nick Castellanos, 94% owned. He had a stretch of a home run in 3 straight games, and the 21 games since, Castellanos is batting .215 with 1 home run. So how do you feel about dropping him?
I mean, I think he's over-owned at 94%. He's not a must-own guy in points leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But, I you know, so if I owned him in a points league, yeah, sure. But in a roto league, no, I would not drop Castellanos.
Okay, I'll do a real-life scenario because I've been struggling with Castellanos, whether to keep him on my roster. He'd been pretty good for me, but now he's currently on my bench. I'm looking at I wouldn't pick up Mike Leake for him with Cincinnati and at the Cubs, and he's been terrible. I don't think I'd pick up Mike Fiers for him, 2 starts at Minnesota and at Toronto.
I can't even believe we're talking about Mike Fiers as a fantasy option. I'm just so over him.
I think if he had 2 home starts, you could consider it based on how good he's been at home, including yesterday against the Blue Jays.
I guess, but it's just I don't feel like I can trust any time he pitches. And it's not like he's a big strikeout pitcher anymore, so why even bother?
Yeah, okay.
What's the upside?
The free agent 2-star pitchers next week might not be very good if Severino is not available, some other guys. But we'll go through it. How about Travis Shaw? He's homered yesterday. He started against the lefty because Hanley Ramirez is day-to-day, might return today. But the last 62 games, Travis Shaw has a .664 OPS. 62 games, and he's still 74% owned. How do you feel about dropping him?
He's about to be jobless, probably. Well, probably is a little strong, but
could be if
Yon Mankata gets called up,
that's it.
Shaw's jobless.
Okay.
And deservedly.
Yeah, drop him.
I'm going to tell you right now that I want to curse because Michael Saunders sitting the last 2 games is absolutely ridiculous. And Melvin Upton has played each of the last 3 games after sitting the previous 2, but Melvin Upton is 61% owned. You're not dropping Saunders, but nope. Upton, he's been terrible since the All-Star break with 1 extra base hit, 1 walk, 15 strikeouts. How droppable is he?
Yeah, and I really don't trust the playing time. So Jankowski is... Travis Jankowski is only, what, 15% owned? I would imagine most of Upton's owners own him for the stolen bases. That's a pretty easy exchange at this point, Upton for Jankowski.
Okay, Melvin Upton.
Yes.
How about Danny Valencia, 62% owned? He homered yesterday. I just want to see him play more. He has played right field twice since the Josh Reddick trade. Danny Valencia, 62%.
Well, I think he could wind up being a post-waiver trade candidate. So I've been not starting Valencia in any leagues, but stashing him, and I'll hold out, you know, probably through September, just in case he gets traded.
Okay. How about Alex Bregman, 70% owned?
I think I'd hold on to him.
Okay.
He gets sent down, then maybe you're in the clear to drop him, but you held on to him so long. Just stick it out a little longer.
Okay. Yeah. We make the George Springer comparisons. He was so bad for about a month, or I don't remember off the top of my head, but about a month when he came up. And then he was, you know, he was better. He was certainly worth owning. So that's somebody to compare him to. Why does every Astros prospect hit like garbage when they get called up?
That's, yeah.
Right? They're not cheating well enough, guys.
Well, in the case of, I mean, some of them, I would say it seemed like they were called up sooner than they deserved to be. That didn't seem like the case for Bregman, though. So And it wasn't the case for Springer either. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe just coincidence.
Boy, we just got an email that I really hope is not true. Although actually I think I kind of dig it. It's from John in Boston. He just put this in a couple minutes ago. I can't believe Chris Towers hasn't run. Hasn't run. I guess Chris does a lot of Twitter polls. This is funny though. I can't believe Chris Towers has not run a Twitter poll on whether Ross and Rachel were on a break. I think that's
Is that Chris's time frame though?
I think so. He's only, I think 2 years younger than me, 3 years younger than me. They were on a break. I think it was
pretty clear. He's like 5 years younger than us, I think.
Is he real? Oh, then maybe not.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm going to go look at Chris Towers' Twitter and see what recent polls he has put up there. Meanwhile, Justin Upton is batting .286 since the All-Star break with 4 home runs, 3 steals, and 11 runs scored, and a double and a triple. In 17 games, that's an .862 OPS. How are you guys feeling about J-Up right now?
Feeling good.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's startable in 3 outfielder leagues and certainly 5 outfielder.
Yeah, I was very happy somebody dropped him in a 5 outfielder league, a 4 outfielder league with 2 utilities, and I was able to snag him. But I think I dropped this guy for him, actually, Denard Span, and that was an easy call, but Span is heating up. Maybe it's just a few games, but got to mention it. 3-for-4 with a home run yesterday. Since the All-Star break, actually, for Span, .343 batting average with 8 runs, 3 steals and 3 attempts, 3 doubles in 18 games. So he's doing a little bit better right now.
I dropped him in a 24-team league, Adam.
Ooh. Wow.
Now, it's a dynasty league, so a lot of roster spots are reserved for prospects. So it changes the complexion a little. But the bottom line is, if I couldn't get him into my starting outfield in a 24-team league, he's pretty low end.
Okay. 4-man rotation. Drew Pomeranz. 6 walks. It's something new every day with Pomeranz with his Red Sox starts. Are you guys concerned about this? This has not been his MO.
Not this year, but in prior years. So no, it's not, if this persists, great. I know there's not that much season left, but on the concernometer, it's like a 3 for me.
Yeah, I'm worried about Pomeranz. The innings are already well more than he's thrown before in the majors. So, could be a bumpy finish. Could be. Not saying you overreact and drop him. I'm just saying, you can worry a little. You have my permission.
I want to see his matchup. Like, you're going to start him next week, right? I don't know what his matchup is. It's probably the Yankees. No, it's probably not the Yankees. Next week, Drew Pomeranz is facing the Yankees at home. Start or sit?
It depends.
Yeah, I was going to say, very, very borderline.
Really?
If you're going to make me pick one right now, I'll say probably sit.
Okay. Matt Moore walked 6 guys yesterday. In his last 10 games, Matt Moore has a .244 ERA. That's pretty good. 53 strikeouts, though, and 66 and a third. That's not so good. What do you think about Matt Moore, 89% owned?
Yeah, well, the walks are back for him. The last, I'm not looking at the game log here, but I think 2 or 3 starts.
2.
So 2 starts, okay. Yeah. So maybe premature to panic, but with anybody who's had really long-standing control issues, even back-to-back starts with a high walk total make me nervous. So, and like you said, the strikeouts really haven't been there at all this year. So it's not like you'd say, I can put up with that because everything else is good and he's going to help me in a variety of ways. So I would not feel confident about starting Moore next week.
Okay. And Moore is a 1-start guy at the Marlins next week.
At the Marlins. Mm-hmm. I feel a little more confident about starting him. Fly ball pitcher in that park. Another borderline case. But I think I'd lean him over Pomeranz.
Kenta Maeda is pretty interesting. He's having a nice year, .322 batting or .322 ERA, and only 13 home runs allowed in 125 and a third innings for 2016. That's really good. And he's 10-7, but not really going deep into his starts lately. Maeda only 2 quality starts in his last 6. He has not thrown more than 97 pitches in any of those starts, and
he hasn't gone deep into starts all season.
But now it's like really bad. He had 2 outs and nobody on in the 5th inning last night, gave up a single, and they took him out of the game.
He hasn't missed any time with injury to my recollection, right? And he's on pace for 188 innings.
Oh, wow.
They've been. I think you just continue to use them like you always have. I mean, well, oh, what, at Colorado is the start?
No, he just had to start at Colorado.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he did well.
Probably going to start him.
Okay. He is a one-start pitcher next week. How about these fringy guys? Bartolo Colon is a top 40 starting pitcher. He's 62% owned. Do you have any interest in him?
No, I'm not really.
Okay.
Not really. Too much inconsistency. You know, you can't rely on getting strikeouts from him. I mean, maybe you get lucky, but just not much there to recommend Colon.
Yeah, and he's alternated horrible starts with good starts in his last six. Colon is against Arizona at home next week.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Okay. Mike Fiers, two starts on the road. We don't want him?
Nope.
Nah.
Only comfortable at home.
Nate Eovaldi, 51% owned, had one bad inning yesterday, gave up two home runs in that inning, and he is a one-star pitcher. I dropped Eovaldi dropped him for Brandon Finnegan.
That's a yucky transaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Word of the day.
Finnegan changed the grip on one of his pitches, I think his changeup, and he's had two good starts since. It's a stash for me, but he's RP eligible, and I'm done with Eovaldi.
For what, about the seventh time this year?
Yeah, yeah. I'm done with him until he has another
one or two times behind you.
Yeah, right. Until he puts together another good like two start stretch, and then I'll be back.
Yeah. I mean, I would consider Eovaldi possibly in a one start week.
Well, that's what I did. I mean, I got Eovaldi because he was facing the Mets. Now this was before the Jay Bruce trade. I didn't think, Bruce hit a 3-run homer. I didn't think Cespedes was going to play. He didn't. So I just thought it was a really good matchup, I got burned. He's at Boston next week, so no.
Okay, not that one start week.
Ian Kennedy, guys. Ian Kennedy, very annoying year. Six scoreless with four walks and nine strikeouts at Tampa Bay. How much do you trust Ian Kennedy?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. He's just somebody who proves that strikeouts can only get you so far. So I do not trust the control or the home run tendencies.
And I'm guessing you want to see more from Wade Miley before you start him.
Yes.
Do I need to see more from Wade Miley?
Kennedy, by the way.
Scott makes a good point.
Kennedy, by the way, has the White Sox at home next week. Is that interesting at all?
Well, what's weird is like the last two starts have been good, and they've both been on the road. Like the two starts before that were at home, and they were terrible. So I don't. There's no predictability to this.
Yeah.
In theory, he should be good at home, but
that's a good matchup. But I feel like he could be bad in any given start.
All right, guys. In the bullpen, Sam Dyson got a save, but Sam Dyson has eight strikeouts in his last 18 2/3. Pitched pretty well though in that stretch. But Jeremy Jeffers pitched the seventh with Matt Bush in the eighth. That surprise you?
Yeah, I figured Jeffers be eighth inning guy. But you know what? I think that makes sense because he and Dyson are very similar in a lot of ways. So I think, you know, putting a hard thrower like Matt Bush in between the two.
They're all hard throwers.
But
strikeout, a bat missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ryan Dole got a save, but it was an extra innings. Ryan Madsen pitched an inning and 2/3 scoreless beginning in the ninth. Any interest in these guys? They're barely owned. G-Mon Choi homered twice. Ryan Vogelsong, Ariel Miranda, and Tyrell Jenkins. Any interest in those guys?
As far as deep league goes, the only one I really don't have interest in is Jenkins. But yeah, I think Miranda's an interesting AL-only play.
Is he going to stick around, though? Because they have Taiwan Walker supposed to start,
this weekend.
This weekend, and they're stretching out Carnes again.
Yeah, take a look at that. So if there's any future there for Miranda, I think he's, you know, should be owned in AL-only leagues. Choi actually almost hit three home runs in that game. The batting average is very low, but he is showing some power, and the strikeout rate is not horrendous for Choi, so I think he's under-owned at just 1%.
Leave it to Al to find some redeeming quality.
And champion.
Yep.
Quickly on the notes, Matt Carpenter should be back today. Tim Anderson left after being hit by a pitch on the hand. X-rays were negative. Carlos Gonzalez did not start due to his ankle injury. Daniel Descalso did start, and then he left with a shoulder contusion. Bud Norris has a strained back, and he may go on the DL. Are we back to stashing Jose De Leon?
Oh boy. I mean, he's one of my top five prospects to stash, but that's, and the reason I phrase it that way is because I write a column every week, or just about every week, where I lead with the top five prospects to stash. So I know he's in it, De Leon, but largely because we're running out of prospects who you'd even consider stashing. So, I mean, this helps, but they also have, Brock Stewart that they just gave a start the last couple days here and then sent back down. They have a lot of other options they could turn to, and they don't seem like they're in any hurry to get him up.
Okay.
De Leon.
Tywin Walker, yeah, he will start yesterday. Steve Cishek on the DL with a torn labrum in his hip. Might just be a 15-day thing. Mike Trout sat with a head cold. He actually pinch hit. Trevor Plouffe is going to be back on Monday. Cameron Maben sat with a sprained left thumb, and Hanley Ramirez could return as soon as tonight. You listen to this podcast because you love fantasy baseball and you want to play more of it. You want FanDuel.com, DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports. It's really fun. Try it. If you try it once, you'll see what I'm talking about. Go to FanDuel.com, join a contest for as little as $1, or play for higher stakes in big tournaments with huge payouts. Win or lose, you're going to enjoy it. FanDuel.com is the best place to play your daily fantasy baseball. And we have a special offer for new users. Enter your first league, win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel's automatically refunding your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code. That's HOMERUN. The promo code is HOMERUN. One word, no spaces. The two-star pitchers for next week. How's the crop looking for week 19 of two-star pitchers?
Pretty typical in that there's a small handful of pitchers that are available that stand out among the rest. Zach Davies is getting more and more popular by the day, but he's got the Braves and the Reds. So if you can pick up Davies, definitely need to make that a priority. And then, as you have mentioned, Severino has two starts, one of them at the Red Sox. So I actually like Davies better, but I think think Severino's a good stash, even if you're not ready to start him next week.
Oh, here's a tough one. Might be tough in a 10-team league. Cole Hamels at Colorado, home against Detroit.
Yeah, it doesn't sound tough to me. I mean, Colorado starts always a little scary, but there's so few Cole Hamels level pitchers out there. He's just automatic in two starts no matter where it is.
Yep, agreed.
Are you cool with Steven Matz against Arizona and San Diego?
I think the matchups make me cool with him this week. I'm losing faith in him just overall.
I would say not automatic for me, and I think we talked about this yesterday, Adam, but Padres actually have been really good against lefties, and I'm not sure that Matz is all that trustworthy. So he's on the borderline for me.
You know, Junior Guerra has those same matchups as Zach Davies, Atlanta and Cincinnati. He came off a bad start, but you're cool starting him?
Yes, absolutely.
Got to sit Odorizzi at Toronto and at the Yankees?
Yes.
Iwakuma was great last time out against the Red Sox. He's got two starts, Detroit at home, Oakland on the road.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit's not a good matchup, but at Oakland's great, and he has been pitching well. So, yeah, I'll go with Iwakuma.
Hector Santiago, Houston at home, Kansas City at home.
No.
Yeah, probably not.
Colin McHugh at Minnesota and at Toronto, legitimately two of the best lineups in baseball right now.
It's true. Shy away from it, probably.
Yeah, I would say probably more likely than Santiago, but less likely than Matz.
Al, I think you said you are going to start Kevin Gausman next week at Oakland and at San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I called him borderline as well, but of all the borderline guys we mentioned, I do like Gausman the best so far.
Edinson Volquez, White Sox at home, Twins on the road.
No, thanks.
Tyler Chatwood, Texas at home, Philadelphia on the road.
Nah.
Yeah.
No way you're starting Zach Eflin, right?
Nope.
Nope.
No way you're starting AJ Griffin.
Not with one at Colorado, no.
No, Mike Fiers is too risky. Kendall Graveman, Baltimore and Seattle at home.
Oh, if I was desperate, I could talk myself into starting him. I'm mostly distrustful of what he's doing now, though.
Tyler Anderson.
Texas. I'm all over this one.
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Home start and a road start. He's been good.
I think we talked about it yesterday, but I'm not even really looking at the venues for Anderson, even though he's rocky.
Yeah. Okay, and I don't know if there's anyone else here. The only one, I don't know, Luis Perdomo at Pittsburgh at the Mets, 6% owned.
No.
Okay.
Not interested.
Okie dokie. Those are your two-star pitchers. I guess we actually have time to look at the most added list really quickly. Tony Watson, number one. Hernan Perez, number two. Edwin Diaz, Ken Giles, Dellin Betances, Tyler Thornburg. So five closers in the top six. Max Kepler, number seven, 76% owned. Dylan Bundy. Oh, Andrew Benintendi. I forgot to mention him in the Looney Platoons. He sat yesterday against the lefty. So Benintendi's 46% owned. What are your thoughts on that ownership?
Seems a little low.
Yeah.
But I see him as just a five outfielder league guy for now.
Okay. Joe Musgrove is widely available. He's less than 30% owned. He has Texas at home next week facing Yu Darvish. How are you going to feel about Musgrove? Is he a start in week 19?
Possibly. Possibly. It's not an ideal matchup, but I mean, the wise thing would probably be to see how he fares with this one, but I'm not rejecting him outright for the rotation.
Gotcha. Finish it up with some emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. All right, we got about 10 minutes, guys, and I only have like five emails in the notes, but we've gotten a lot more. I want to go through the inbox, so let's see if we can do this quickly here. Colin in Boston says, ugh, pitching, am I right? Just when I think I have a handle on who's lousy, Jason Hamill, and who can finally be relied upon, Trevor Bauer, I'm reminded that I actually know nothing. Anyway, I can use some help picking two of the following five. Trevor Bauer.
Nope.
Steven Wright at home against the Yankees. Dallas Keuchel at the 27 Yankees. I mean the Twins. Carlos Martinez at the Cubs and Stroman at home against the Astros. So pick two.
That's tough. I will go Carmartin Stroman.
Me too. Yes. Yes, I agree.
Wow. Sitting Keuchel. Okay.
Yep.
This is
matchup doesn't help.
Yeah. This is from Morgan. He says, dear Clayton, Julio, and Danny. DL.
DL pitchers?
Yeah. Salazar, Kershaw, and Tehran.
Ah.
Who should he drop? Who should Morgan drop to activate Rich Hill? Sonny Gray or Tyler Skaggs?
Oof. Sonny Gray. I'm not even really hesitating there.
I am, but I agree.
He also wants to pick up another starting pitcher and drop a position player. Who would you pick up, Danny Duffy or John Gray?
Danny Duffy.
What? Wait a second here. Wait a second. Those pitchers are available?
Yeah.
We'll just drop Gray and Skaggs and pick up drop Sonny Gray and Skaggs and pick up John Gray and Danny Duffy. Like, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to do that. I mean, I like Skaggs, but Duffy and Gray should be must own at this point.
Who would you rather own going forward? This is from Andrew. Mike Zunino or Evan Gattis?
I would rather own Gattis.
I would too.
This is from Sean. He says, dear Saul, David, and Solomon.
Sounds like some Old Testament stuff going on there.
Sure does. I'm in a 12-team league with limited waiver wire moves. I only have three left for the season. Jose Abreu is driving me nuts. Should I use one of my three available roster moves to pick up Mike Napoli, Carlos Santana, or Yanhervis Solarte?
I would use one for Napoli. Yeah.
Over Santana? Wait, well, sorry we came at you there with such force.
Well, they're pretty close in my rankings, but I do think Santana's just a little more trustworthy.
I guess the thing that would, he's given its limited moves. Maybe it was a little hasty to go for Napoli, but but by the same token, there's not, that much season left. And, Napoli he's hot. And
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
Yeah, off. Yeah. So, I'm going Napoli.
So are we saying these guys are more valuable than Abreu? Like, because I know I have Abreu ranked ahead of both.
No,
so
you could start them over Abreu. You don't have to drop Abreu.
I wouldn't drop Abreu.
Yeah. Okay. But he has three moves left. We're not going to trust Abreu to just come around. we're just
it's that
important to get Abreu out of the lineup that we're going to reduce it to two moves.
I'm not trusting Abreu that much. I think, you know, if I can get 2-3 weeks out of Napoli, it could make a difference.
Also, I think
this level.
I think Napoli, Santana, Solarte are good enough to consider for a flex. So just getting them on your roster.
That's an excellent point.
Could be pretty helpful.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting both Napoli and Abreu in a league.
There you go. So here's one from Ian in Boston, Kansas, Chicago, Asia, etc. Al, that goes back to our Boston versus Kansas.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
These are all bands. Boston, Kansas, Chicago, Asia.
And they are definitely not all the same band.
No, those are not. He says, Dear Handlebar, Fu Manchu, and Dirt, those would all be mustaches because this is a stash question.
Ah.
AJ Pollock and Clayton Kershaw are available in my categories league, 10-team categories league. I already have Salazar in my DL spot and Zach Greinke occupying a bench spot, so I don't have room to stash another injured player. Is it ever advisable to punt stats in a starting spot for the remainder of the regular season to bet on a possible playoff dominance?
I mean, it depends how assured you are of making the playoffs, I guess. I would almost always opt against it, but you know, if you're running away with the league, I guess I could understand it.
Yeah, like for him, I'd probably drop Melky Cabrera and pick up Kershaw.
Yeah.
Or who's a better stash, Kershaw or Pollock?
Kershaw.
I agree.
Okay, let's go to the inbox here. I'm going to read these on the fly, so pardon me if there are any issues. This is from Bobby Bonds. That's his real name, and he's not Barry's dad, he says.
Oh, good to know.
Dear Jared, Jack, Heath, and Caesar.
What the heck?
Yeah, no idea.
No idea.
I've been hearing about the Marlins shutting down Fernandez this season to keep him healthy. I've been offered a deal getting Chris Sale for Jose Fernandez and John Lackey. Would you give up Fernandez? Yeah, Fernandez and Lackey to get Chris Sale.
Nah, I wouldn't, because I just would rather have Fernandez.
They're not going to shut him down. They're going to skip him a couple times, but they're probably too strong. They're fighting to get in the playoffs. I mean, they're not going to shut him down.
Okay, sorry for the delay. Next email, let's go to Adam. His team clinched the playoffs. This is Adam in Chicago. Which of these guys do you think will be most productive in the fantasy playoffs in a 12-team head-to-head league? Nomar Mazzara, a lot of names here. Nomar Mazzara, Devin Travis, Kevin Pillar, Alex Bregman, Trey Turner, Jose Reyes, Angel Pagan, Jock Peterson, and Michael Conforto. Mazzara, Travis, Pillar, Bregman, Turner, Reyes, Pagan, Peterson, Conforto. Who's going to be most productive in that group?
Guy at the top, Nomar Mazzara.
Really?
He was out of the lineup yesterday with Chu back against a left-hander.
Oh, I didn't even get to that in the Looney Platoons. Not only was Mazzara out of the lineup, but so was Jurickson Profar and so was Mitch Moreland.
I just didn't hear a name in there that seemed like a either a sure thing
Trey
or somebody
Turner.
Without playing time.
Trey Turner.
Yeah, that's my number one. And actually, for my number two, I was kind of thinking
Devin
Bregman.
Devin Travis.
No, I was kind of thinking Bregman.
Okay.
Well, Travis probably's got the most secure playing time situation, but he's not been that great for the last month or so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I know Mazar's risky, but
okay,
I go with him. Turner would be my number two guy.
Profar, by the way, has one extra base hit against lefties this year. So I think that's going to continue. The platooning. Until Chu goes on the DL for a fourth time.
There you go.
Question from No Name. I lost Trevor Story. No shortstops on waivers, and I have good depth. I traded Starling Marte for Jonathan VR. Grade the trade.
I assume it's the Roto League.
I'm
not sure it makes that big of a difference.
I'm going to go D+ on that because, you know, you're giving up steals to get steals. I understand he needs a shortstop, but I have to admit, I still don't completely trust VR, whereas I'm confident I know what I'm getting with Marte.
Leonardo wants to know who to stash in a Roto League, Alex Cobb or Zach Wheeler.
I
go Cobb.
I don't don't think any either is. I guess Cobb maybe is a little closer. So yeah, okay.
Here's an email from Kevin from Philly. Hey, Frodo, Sam, Pippin, and Merry.
Those sound so, like hobbits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have Taiwan Walker coming off the DL. I need to drop a pitcher. Who to drop? Tillman, Snell, or Rodon for Taiwan? Oh, Rodon.
Rodon, yeah, easily.
Yeah. Adam just answers the question.
Those ones are easy. Last one, we'll do a grade the trade. Oh, this guy's name? No, I'm not sure if I should say his last name. He didn't put it in the email. I'm just looking. I'm not going to say your last name, but you have an awesome name, dude. This is from Dan from New Haven. Dear Carlos, Corey, and Cody.
Carlos, Corey, and Cody.
Think Cleveland, he says.
Think Cleveland? Okay, so that's the...
Kluber, Cody Allen. And Carlos Santana or Carrasco.
Okay, so just...
Or Anderson.
Indians.
Yeah, oh, Anderson. Could Cody be. Anderson. Let's say Indians pitchers.
Okay.
I'm having trade deadline remorse. Fantasy baseball is weird with timing. After sticking with Stanton the first half and seeing this resurgence the past couple weeks, dip made me question whether he'll be the Stanton that we know and love the rest of the way. So I'm middle of the pack in saves, and I gave up Stanton, Neftali Feliz, and Melvin Upton. Gave up Stanton, Feliz, and Upton. Holds is a category, by the way. I get JD Martinez, Max Kepler, and Ken Giles.
Great. I actually like it. I like it. I'll give it a B. Yeah, I'll give it a B. I mean, Feliz and Upton, well, I guess holds. Feliz does have some value, but Giles has more, of course. And I think even though Stanton's the highest-ranked player of all the ones getting traded, JD Martinez isn't that far back, and I think Kepler's clearly a better second outfielder than Melvin Upton at this point. So.
Yeah, I'll go C plus, just because I think Stanton could be by far the best in the field.
Yeah,
but there's risk there, and it's a win.
I'll lower it to B minus. How's that sound?
Good job, Dan. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll come back to start week 19 on Monday with a nice weekend recap for Al Melchior and Scott White. See you later. Machado.